Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the podcast, we're going to continue our 2018 schedule preview. This time it'll be part two. Yesterday we talked about the first four games of the Steelers schedule. Today we're going to talk about the second four games, weeks 5 through 9 of the Steelers schedule. Remember, the Steelers have a bye week in week 7 this season, so we'll be talking about weeks 5 and 6, and then 8 and 9. And some interesting games on this part of the schedule. This is when we really get through the meat of the divisional opponents. Three of the four games we're talking about today are going to be divisional opponents. Before we get to the schedule, let's talk about some news and notes today. And really what I want to talk about today is the supplemental draft, which is coming up July 11th. If you're not familiar with the supplemental draft, basically, it's an NFL draft for players who, between January, when you have to declare your eligibility as a collegiate athlete, and now, players may lose eligibility or elect to go pro after the January deadline. This supplemental draft is for those players. And generally, this is for players who, you know, for academic reasons or off-the-field reasons, some reason, they've lost eligibility for their upcoming season. They will then declare for this supplemental draft. It works basically like the draft in that, you know, we're going through the worst teams to the best teams and seeing who is drafted where. You basically get the opportunity to pass, though, right? And really, it works more like a silent auction. You know, there will be players in the supplemental draft. Each team will be able to put a round bid in for that player. So the Steelers could potentially put a third round bid in for one of these players. And if no one else has a second round or third round grade, the Steelers would then, for a third round selection in next year's draft, get that player in this year's supplemental draft. So kind of interesting the way it works in that you're forfeiting a pick in the next year's draft in order to take a player in the supplemental draft. It should be noted that the Steelers have never taken a player in the supplemental draft. And I think that's mostly due to the fact that, look, a lot of these players, and in fact, I would say generally speaking, most of the players who come through the supplemental process, this supplemental draft process, you know, they generally have some sort of red flag or some sort of character issue, something that, you know, when you talk about the kinds of players the Steelers are looking to add to the roster, you know, these are players who don't normally fit, right? And so, you know, we've seen some very good players come through this process, no doubt about it. Josh Gordon was drafted in 2012, Terrell Pryor in 2011. But this is not the supplemental draft is not something that happens every year. In fact, no one has been taken in the supplemental draft since 2015. But this year, it seems like there may be three players taken in this year's draft. It looks like Virginia Tech cornerback Adonis Alexander, Western Michigan cornerback Sam Beal. Those two players will definitely get taken. Sam Beal, in fact, a lot of draft experts feel like if he were eligible for the 2019 draft, he would have been potentially a first-round selection in that draft. So, you know, certainly a lot of hype around Sam Beal. Adonis Alexander, probably more of a mid-round selection. There's also Mississippi State safety Brandon Bryant in this supplemental draft. He will probably be a later round selection, but he's an interesting prospect because he ran so well at his pro day. There were word out of his pro day that he ran around 4.3, maybe even under 4.3 at that pro day. So yeah, look, he ran pretty well. He's certainly got the kind of athleticism you look for at safety, and the Steelers were there at his pro day. So certainly they have some interest in him. Now, whether or not they're going to take Brandon Bryant in this draft, I think that is a long shot. I don't really think the Steelers will probably be involved in any of the three players that are likely to be selected. When we talk about cornerback, right, you know, the Steelers have, at starters, right, they have three starters already returning in Artie Burns, Joe Hayden, and Mike Hilton. Behind them, we've definitely got competition with Cam Sutton coming up now, and I think Cam Sutton is likely to be pushing for a starting spot on this team at some point in 2018. You've got Brian Allen, who was selected in the sixth round a year ago. You've still got Cody Sensabaugh on this roster, and you have the player from the Washington Redskins who they traded for. I'm going to forget his name, but Deshaun Phillips, who the Steelers traded for from the Washington Redskins. He spent 2017 on the practice squad, but he's another young player in the mix at cornerback. And so, you know, we talk about Adonis Alexander and Sam Beal, certainly Sam Beal of those two being the more high profile. I still don't think it's likely that the Steelers take a cornerback in the supplemental draft. And we talk, and then, you know, this safety, Brandon Bryant, the Steelers are certainly looking for a free safety type, so an athletic ball hockey type player. And Brandon Bryant will probably be a later round selection, fifth, sixth, maybe even seventh round, maybe not even drafted in the supplemental draft. But, you know, we talk about safety, right? The Steelers already took two safeties in the draft. And so you've got Marcus Allen and you've got Terrell Edmonds going into training camp now. And you want to get all these guys reps. You've still got to work Morgan Burnett into this defense. You're still trying to figure out whether or not you want to switch Sean Davis over to free safety. I just don't see the Steelers needing to add another rookie safety into that mix right now. And so I think it's unlikely to see this team select anyone in the supplemental draft. But it is certainly interesting that the Steelers were attending a pro day for one of these prospects, because this, again, has been a process the Steelers have been absent from since the beginning. All right, and let's get to part two of our schedule preview for the 2018 season, and we will start with week five against the Atlanta Falcons. As we talked about yesterday, you know, Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens are certainly going to pose a test for this defense in that they know us so well. They know how to exploit what the Steelers defense does not do well. They know how to exploit that. But, you know, Atlanta is going to certainly bring some things to the table that the Steelers have not seen really in some time from an opposing offense. And a lot of the talk about this game is going to be about how the Steelers are going to defend Julio Jones. I think some of that is probably going to get a little overhyped. The Steelers go up against A.J. Green twice a year. So they're well-versed in how to defend the big playmaking type wide receiver that Julio Jones is. Not to say that they've been great in doing so, or that they are, that they are experts in the field or anything like that. But, you know, I think that they are certainly more well-versed in defending that than I think they are going to be in defending all of the other things that Atlanta brings to the table. You know, Atlanta's offense is not one that revolves around Julio Jones. In fact, given the amount of injuries he's had over the past two seasons, Atlanta wouldn't have the kind of success they've had over the past couple seasons if it were just the Julio Jones, you know, that style of offense. They bring a lot more to the table, and you look at the weapons that they have around Julio Jones, to me, going to be a much more interesting test for this defense, defending guys like Mohamed Sanu, defending someone like Calvin Ridley, a rookie that the Falcons just got in the draft. He's going to play probably in the slot for the Falcons. I think their tight end, Austin Hooper, is very underrated. They have two very good running backs in Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. They can attack the Steelers in a lot of different ways, and it's going to be up to the Steelers to have a lot of discipline in this game, prove not only that they can defend on the outside, and Matt Ryan, certainly a strong-arm quarterback who can attack us sideline to sideline, but also in that middle of the field with the tight end and with running backs coming out of the backfield. You know, it is going to be up to this defense to play not just a good game, but a great game against this Atlanta team, or they will certainly get exposed. It's the first time on this schedule that you can really say the Steelers are going to have problems here, and this could be a legitimate loss for the Steelers. Even though it's a home game, Atlanta brings a lot of things to the table on their offense that has to scare you as a Steelers fan. And yes, this could turn into the kind of shootout style that we've seen, and Mike Tomlin does in these types of matchups going up against very high-powered offenses. He likes to play a more ball control, Le'Veon Bell style of offense that allows the Steelers to go on long, sustained scoring drives and tries to keep that opposing offense off the field. It hasn't always been successful, though. And so, you know, if the Steelers offense does start to struggle against Atlanta, it is going to be up to that defense to keep them down. And I don't know that they have it in them, certainly this early in the season. And so I could definitely see the Steelers losing that football game. That takes us into week six, which will be against the Cincinnati Bengals. And that game will be played in Cincinnati. This is traditionally the most physical game the Steelers play. It has probably replaced Baltimore as being an even more physical game. Certainly it was a season ago, and of course that was the uh, That was the game that Ryan Shazier was injured in. At Cincinnati over the past two seasons has not been the cakewalk that you kind of feel like it should be. Cincinnati has not had a great past two seasons, and yet the Steelers have played this team pretty closely, even in pretty much both matchups, but especially on the road. Look, Cincinnati, again, is another division opponent who knows how to exploit this defense at times, and certainly if you look at just the first half of the games the Steelers played against the Bengals a season ago, Andy Dalton, that offense, got a lot of things going. They were able to put up points in the first half. In the second half, the defense clamped down and were able to get some stops and, more importantly, get some big turnovers in those games, which allowed offensively us to come back in the road game and in the home game, really just blow that game wide open. Look, it's going to be very much the same in 2018, right? The key to beating the Bengals is to play well offensively. What they do so well against the Steelers is they shut down the timing and the rhythm of the Steelers offense, really trying to put the game into Le'Veon Bell's hands and take the ball out of Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown's hands. And that's going to be the case again in 2018. They still have a very good secondary. They still have a very good linebacking core. They are still going to rush the passer as good as anyone the Steelers are going to face in 2018. And so, these matchups against the Bengals are going to be interesting ones. Again, the Steelers are still a better team. They should win this game, but road game, division opponent, of course, it could be a loss. And that game will take us into the bye week. Really a good time to have a bye in week 7. Maybe it's a little earlier than you'd like, but when you consider the last three teams the Steelers would have faced, being Baltimore, then Atlanta, then Cincinnati, two of those games being very, very physical matchups, week 7 and a bye week there is going to be good for that team to rest up. And the other thing about that Atlanta game is it does come sandwiched in between Baltimore and Cincinnati. So not to say that the Steelers will be looking past anyone during that part of the schedule, but it does make for a very difficult three-week stretch, having two very physical football teams and then a very high-powered offensive football team sandwiched in the middle. After the bye week, the Steelers will be going up against the Cleveland Browns at home. Not exactly the kind of opponent you want to face coming out of a bye week. Normally, you'd like to see this, the game you have coming out of a bye week, be against one of the top teams in the National Football League or one of the tougher games on your schedule. That will not be the case in 2018. They'll be facing the Browns. This is the home game. The interesting thing about this one, week 8 against the Browns at home, is we're finally going to get to see the starters play against the Browns at home. This has not been the case the past couple seasons, as these games have been played in week 17 in the past two seasons, and those games have been meaningless to the Steelers, and so Landry Jones and the backups have been playing in those games. Look, we talked about it yesterday, right? Playing the Browns week 1 on the road, not an ideal scenario, could be a little closer, a little too close for comfort. Week 8, on the other hand, at home, coming off of a bye week, I mean, this absolutely should be the blowout that we expect. And that takes us into week 9, which will be the second Baltimore Ravens game, this time in Baltimore in week 9. And before we talk about the Baltimore Ravens themselves, I do want to mention that this means that the Steelers, in their first 8 games of 2018, will be playing 5 of their 8 games as division against division opponents. And that has led teams around the AFC North to say, it's a little unfair, or it's the Steelers got an easy schedule in that way, in that they can pretty much wrap up the division by week 9 because they have so many of their division games up front. Now, you can take this two ways, right? Yes, okay, if the Steelers go 5-0 in these division games, as they should, right? The Steelers are still the best team in the AFC North, and pretty much it's far and away the best team in the AFC North. But, so if the Steelers go 5-0, yes, that the division is done, right? Because not only will the Steelers have 5 wins, they'll likely at that point through 8 games have 7 wins if they had swept the division, and they probably win 2 other games. So they're probably 7-1 at that point. Baltimore, we know, would have 2 losses. The Bengals would definitely have a loss and probably many more. The Browns would have 2 losses and probably many more. So, yeah, I mean, it would put the Steelers up at least 2 games, given that they would have swept the Baltimore Ravens, swept the Cleveland Browns, and then The Bengals, the best the Bengals could be is tied with the Steelers, but a half game behind having lost. So, yes, the division at that point likely over. But I would say this as a counterpoint. You know, this idea that playing the Steelers early on in the season and being done, us being done with the division early in the season is good for us, goes against how the Steelers have traditionally done throughout the season, right? This is a team that under Mike Tomlin has been a late season December type team. In fact, I don't think we've lost a game in December in quite some time other than the travesty that was the New England game a year ago. You know, and in fact, you look at since Mike Tomlin made those comments early in his career about how we're going to raise hell in the month of December, you know, the Steelers that year did not raise any hell. In fact, they got their ass kicked in the month of December that year. But since then, they have very much become a December-style football team. We do not lose in the month of December, again, other than that New England game a year ago. So this idea that if these games were later in the year, it would mean more, or that, you know, it would be better for the other teams in our division, I just don't see that, right? We played Baltimore in December of last year, I believe it was. Maybe it was late November. We played Cincinnati in November last year. We beat those teams. We played Cleveland in December last year, beat them with our backups, right? You know, playing these teams later in the year to me is better, right? We're playing better football later in the year. There's less of a chance of us to get upset later in the year against these teams because we're just, you know, traditionally the Steelers are playing their best football late in the year. So the fact that we have all of these games packed into our first nine games, to me, actually is a little more dangerous. The Steelers a year ago got out to a very slow start, especially offensively. There are two games that you could look at and say, these were times when we played down to our opponents, and that was, of course, playing against Chicago and Jacksonville. Those were games that happened very early on in the season. So when we look at what it's going to take for Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore to beat the Steelers, it's certainly not only going to take good performances from the opponent, but a bad performance from the Steelers. And again, as we've seen, the Steelers have been slow starting, at least they were last season. So if it's the same thing in 2018, I actually think this works out to the detriment of the Steelers. I think some of these games get a little more dangerous. And as we talked about yesterday, right, playing the Browns week one on the road is not when you want to be playing that football game. Playing the Ravens twice in the first nine games, again, not exactly when we want to be playing those games. I'll go back to when the Steelers were 0-4, you know, that one season. We had played, we beat the Ravens early on in that season, but we were an 0-4 football team who seemed like we were dead and out of it, and then they kind of found their footing in the second half of the season. That could very easily happen again this season, right? We're not going to have these easy opponents that we can kind of get by early on in the season because we're going to be playing so many division games, so many teams that can exploit us. It's very possible that this team through their first eight games is something like 4-4 or 5-3 and looks like they're stumbling a little bit. And then by the time we get to weeks 12 and 13, they found their footing. They go on their traditional, you know, Steelers winning streak. I think that's just as likely as this idea that the Steelers go 5-0 in these division games and fly through their division. Now, talking about the Baltimore Ravens themselves, this is a team that has certainly gone over an offensive makeover. And as we talked about on yesterday's podcast, no matter who's on the Ravens, they're playing us tough no matter what, right? I mean, this Ravens team and Joe Flacco has traditionally played the Steelers as tough as anyone in the National Football League. But just talking about talent and in the roster, Baltimore has had a lot of problems offensively, specifically at wide receiver and tight end, and they have remade both positions this offseason. At wide receiver, no longer are they going to have Mike Wallace. They are now going with John Brown, who they signed from the Arizona Cardinals, Michael Crabtree, who they signed from the Oakland Raiders, and then Willie Snead, who they got from the New Orleans Saints. And so that's a completely remade wide receiving core, right? You've got Brown and Crabtree likely to be playing on the outside, and you would figure Willie Snead in the slot. They've also got Breshad Perriman, who they're hoping can be healthy this season. Remember, he was a first-round pick for them, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, who has just been perennially hurt. If he's healthy, again, that's another asset for them at wide receiver. And then at tight end, they took two tight ends in the draft in Hayden Hurst, who was a first-round selection for them, and then Mark Andrews, who I believe they took in the third round for Mark Andrews. And Mark Andrews is a guy who I actually liked coming out of college. He played for Oklahoma with Baker Mayfield. There are some questions about his athleticism coming into the National Football League and whether or not he's going to be able to keep up at the NFL level, but certainly he was a very productive tight end in college. And then Hayden Hurst might have been a reach for them in the first round, but there's no doubting Hayden Hurst is a good, it will be a good pass catching target for Joe Flacco. And Joe Flacco is a guy who lives and dies on, you know, throwing the ball to the running back and tight ends. So having quality tight ends is going to mean a lot for a Joe Flacco led offense. And the other question with Baltimore is going to be about, when does Lamar Jackson start to see time? We've already heard reports out of OTAs and Baltimore minicamp that Lamar Jackson looks very, very good. And not only that, is he looking good at quarterback, but they're trying him out at other positions, just trying to get him on the field early on in his career. The question is going to be, how early on is he going to see the field at quarterback, especially if Joe Flacco has the kind of struggles he did a year ago? That can, of course, work into Pittsburgh's favor if, by the time we get to this Week 9 matchup in Baltimore, if there's already a quarterback controversy brewing. Of course, the idea would be that the Steelers kind of put the nail in the coffin for Joe Flacco. I wouldn't expect that to be the case considering how well Flacco plays against the Steelers. But, hey, anything is possible, right? I mean, really, these last two games we talked about, Cleveland in Week 8 coming out of the bye week, certainly there's going to be questions at that point in the season, halfway through the season, whether or not Baker Mayfield should be starting for the Cleveland Browns. And then Baltimore, potentially there could be questions about Lamar Jackson. But I certainly, you know, I expect Baltimore to be a better football team than they were a year ago, just given the fact that they have so much more talent offensively. Defensively, I don't think they lost anyone that was too significant. In fact, I think they got even stronger now, adding Anthony Averett to that secondary. And really, what happened to them a year ago, and really over the last 2 years, is that because they have been so injury-riddled over the past couple seasons, they've been able to find some young talent, develop some young talent who have been forced into starting roles. I think Tavon Young, one of their cornerbacks, falls into that category. He was very, very good a couple years ago. So, look, and they still have Brandon Williams. They still have Terrell Suggs. They still have C.J. Mosley. They still have all their playmakers on defense. They have bolstered that offense. These games are not going to be easy. The game in Baltimore, again, it's going to be a close one. These games always come down to seems like they always come down to game-winning field goals. So they did last year. It probably will again this season. That takes us through Week 9, the first 8 games of the Steelers' schedule. You know, honestly, you look at these games, none of them really scare you a lot on paper, right? As we just look at the opponents, Cleveland twice, Baltimore twice, Cincinnati once, all of these division games we've talked about, the Steelers swept the division a year ago. They figure to sweep the division again as long as they don't lose a stupid game. Outside of those division games, you've got Tampa Bay on the road on Monday night. That scares you just because of the way the Steelers traditionally play against lesser opponents on the road. But, you know, again, on paper, the Steelers are a much better football team than Tampa Bay. And then you've got the two teams that have playoff aspirations. And you've got Kansas City in the home opener. Again, home opener should just be a win for the Steelers without anything else. You know, you add to the fact that it's going to be a first-year quarterback for Kansas City. He's going to be playing in Pittsburgh for the first time. You figure that should be a win, especially against a Kansas City team that the Steelers have had so much success over. And then the one that scares you is Atlanta, right? And I think Atlanta is the one where, out of these first 8 games, you would feel okay if the Steelers were to lose that football game. And so I really think 6-2 means the Steelers lost a game they shouldn't. 7-1 means the Steelers are pretty much right where we expected. And 8-0 would be, you know, 8-0 would be above our wildest dreams, right? But really, when you look at this point, we're now halfway through the schedule. The back half of the schedule is much more difficult than the front half. I mean, this schedule is front-loaded in that a lot of their easy, I don't want to call them easier, but a lot of their assumed wins come early in the season. And so we can't afford for this team to have the kind of slow start we've seen them have in years past. Or not just a slow start, but to come out and kind of drop some games that they shouldn't. Because as we're going to start talking about tomorrow, the second half of the schedule gets much, much more difficult. We start talking about games like Carolina, Jacksonville, New England, Oakland, New Orleans, right? I mean, all of these games are packed into the second half of the schedule. So through eight games, it's going to be very important that the Steelers are somewhere around 6-2, 7-1, 8-0, just to get those wins in there. Again, if the idea is to have the bye week again, to have home field advantage, in order to do that, the Steelers are going to have to pull off a run early on and be somewhere around 7-1 or even 8-0. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter at SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow to talk about the weeks 10 through 13 of the Steelers schedule right here on Locked On Steelers.